Old Testament this morning, Genesis chapter 32. You know this guy, Jacob. You know him. There's a lot of times you think about, I don't know if you think about these things. There's a lot of times I think about, we were talking about our sister Mary who went to be with the Lord, and, you think about when you're there, obviously first we want to see Jesus, right? We better make sure you're seeing Jesus. If you're not seeing Jesus, you're in trouble. But you see Jesus and you want to, be there with him. But sometimes you think about all the other saints of God throughout the ages that are going to be there in glory, And there's let's hang out with Moses today and just see what it was like, how crazy it was leading those people around the desert, And there's some, I think, more than others that I look at and I think I want to spend time with. And Jacob's one of those guys that I probably would like to look at, but I kind of look at him like this. Now, I know you're redeemed and all, Jacob, but I don't know, man. You're a tough character. I don't want to spend some time with you because you're going to find a way to get over on me. That's just that was his nature. And I'm being a little lighthearted because, obviously, in glory, there's no more of that old nature. But when he was on the earth, he was a guy that you had to be careful with. He was going to find some way to get over on you, trip you up, scam you, just run roughshod over you, whatever. And he was a determined, stubborn man, Not proper Italian, but South Philly guttural Italian says gabados. You know what a gabados is, right? Yeah. He was that and more. He was that and more. And I'm not going to have time to unpack his whole story this morning, but suffice it to say that he was promised by God in the womb to be the one who would inherit the birthright from his father. And even though he was not the firstborn, they were twins, but even though he came out second, the promise already was that he was going to get the birthright, but he was still determined. His mom knew it. And they were still determined that he was still going to get it and steal it from his dad, And they cast a plan, and they fooled Dad, but then it caused the whole family that was already on the brink of being fractured to be completely fractured. He has to leave because his brother's going to kill him. He can't come back. He never sees his mother again. He goes away, and it's like terrible. Just awful, awful thing. But while he was away, or on his journey to leave, he prayed kind of a selfish prayer about God. Just say, God, I'll make you my God if you kind of be with me, I'm making a deal with God now. And he goes out and he meets a guy that was his match, a guy that was as stubborn and as more conniver than he was, and it was Uncle Laban. And those two go at it. They had some epic battles, But he finally leaves his uncle, and he went there with nothing. Nothing, absolutely nothing. He leaves there a wealthy man with two wives and a bunch of kids. And he's going back home now. And he knows when word gets out that he's going back home that there's a brother who wanted to kill him years ago still there. And when he hears that his brother's coming with 300 men, he says, uh-oh. I got problems. We got problems. He separates his, again, always trying to, he's always got a plan. He's always maneuvering. He splits his family, two different groups. So if he kills the one, I'll have the other. If he kills that one, I'll have this one. And he sets them in two different groups. And then he sends them over and he stays back to just get some time alone, fearing what's coming in the morning, So we pick up this story in Genesis 32 in verse 22. And he, meaning Jacob, arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed over the ford Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the brook and sent over what he had. Again, remembering that he's always found a way out of stuff. He's always been able to come up with a plan. He's always, come out on top, and he's trying to do that all again. But then it says in verse 24, then Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of his hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Reading this carefully, you have to see that the Holy Spirit, in giving us this account, you know, Moses is writing it, but the Holy Spirit is, you know, giving him this account of what happened, that he was alone. And he wanted to be alone. He sent everybody away because he said, I got to like just be thinking tonight and decompressing and getting ready for tomorrow because I'm going to have to be quick on my feet and maybe come up with some plans on the fly. I mean, I need some time to think, rest, or whatever he had to do. He wanted to be alone. But somebody crashed the party. So the fact is, you notice it says, and a man wrestled with him. He wasn't looking for a fight. He had a bigger fight with his, you know, and he thought his brother coming up. He's, I'm not looking for a fight. I'm looking for alone time. And this man wrestles with him. Man shows up and they just start fighting. And they fight all night. What's the longest fight you've ever been in? I'm talking about like real fight. Like not a verbal fight. Not a text fight. Oh, I'm on a text fight right now. What does that even mean? I'm fighting online. Oh, stop, please. Fight. Most fights are over pretty quick because most people don't know how to fight. And then when somebody doesn't know how to fight, it's usually boom, boom. Oh, okay, done. But these dudes were fighting all night long. All night long. See, Jacob was one of those kind of people that you got to kill him to quit. Dude was not going to stop. That's his life. He was never going to submit. He'll keep going. But the fact of the matter, this other ones were fighting with him all night. It's interesting. And you're going to find out very quickly, which I'll say it basically now, that this wasn't just some ordinary dude that showed up and said, hey, let me wrestle this guy. You know, it's not like this guy walked in and said, hey, let's wrestle. You know, no. This was God himself. More specifically, it was Jesus, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, a Christophany. And again, understand that he, Jesus, was wrestling with Jacob all night long. Now, Jesus could have won any time, but the fact of the matter is, Jacob was never going to quit. Do you understand? I mean, obviously, Jesus could have just ended it because of whatever, but he says, no, I'll keep going. And this guy, he wasn't going to stop. And God knew this guy's not going to, until he dies. He's not going to stop. So Jesus touches his hip, and it basically, he shrank the hip joint there. He put it out of joint, it says, but he really shrunk it. And that was it. Fight was over. Only because Jacob at that point was unable to continue. But the key is that the man was wrestling with him. And Jacob's determination speaks a lot about him, but you know what? God was wrestling with Jacob, but he was doing it with a purpose. Because all his life, without him really realizing it, Jacob had been wrestling against God. Jacob was always doing things Jacob's way. Oh, I'm sure he acknowledged God here and there, asked for God's blessing here and there, and kind of, I need my help here, I need an assist now, I need a tag in, you know what I mean? Yeah. But he's always doing his thing, his way. And you know, you might think, well, how was this guy able to wrestle against God all night? How could you have such determination? How could you have such, you know, fight within you? Think about yourself and how often we are wrestling against God all our lives. We do. Even Christians say, oh, well, I'm a Christian. Yeah, and guess what? Many of you as a Christian are wrestling against God. You're wrestling. Because you know that God has something in your life or wants something from your life. And you're like, mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. And you wrestle and you wrestle. And you say, well, Jacob wrestled all night. Yeah, you've been wrestling for 10 years. And see, this is what God's plan was. He's going to say to Jacob, Jacob, you've been wrestling with me all of your life. So I'm going to wrestle with you now. Let's see how things go. But God now says, okay, enough. See, it seems sometimes that though in our mind, our intellectual mind, we think, how can man fight God? Well, again, if God doesn't want to entertain that, we can't. But the fact of the matter is, we fight against him all the time. See, anytime we're in rebellion against God, whatever it is, sometimes we think we're even winning. We think we're winning. And we're convinced we're winning. Until at that moment, God says, boop, and touches the hip joint of whatever that situation is. And we realize, uh-oh, I'm stuck now. I'm done now. I've come to the end of it. I can't go anymore. I want to. I can't, but I can't. I can't. I can't. I can't. I can't. And Jacob does, in this case, the right thing. Because Jesus touches the hip bone, and he says, let me go, for the day breaks. But Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So even in defeat, he's holding on for dear life and says, I need something. I want something from you. I still have to have something on my terms. But in this case, he's asking for the right thing. He's asking for the right thing. I need you to bless me. I've met my match. I get it. But I need you to bless me. I'm going to hold on until I at least get that from you. It's interesting, when I say interesting, I was reading stupid articles again, you know, you read different news feeds, stupid things. And the article was like, I'm talking about real fluffs and nonsense stuff. Well, I mean, nonsense, but yeah. 80s pop song that is considered the most difficult song ever, like, whatever. And I'm like, what does this even mean? I don't even know why I clicked. And I'm reading this article, and this guy, and it was very music-centric as far as the explanation. It was talking about jazz and rhythms and things. And it happened to be this song that probably many of you know. It's from 83, Never Gonna Let You Go. All right? I'm not going to sing it, all right? Never gonna let you go. Hold you in my arms. Oh, no, okay, enough of that. And it's interesting when I thought about that song, thinking about this. How you get to that point, and that's a great sentiment. I'm never gonna let you go. And that's Jacob's mindset right now. I'm beat. I'm defeated. I know. I can't win. I mean, the best I could do is stalemate you all night long, but now you just showed me how easily you just put me out of commission. But I am not going to let you go. I'm never going to let you go. And it really wasn't even Jacob at this point nearly dictating to God as he had done before. He is asking for something, but he realizes that he was defeated and he knows he needs something desperately from the one who was better than him. He came to the end of himself. Do you understand that? He finally came to the end of himself. Unless you bless me, I'm just going to hold on. I can't fight anymore, but I'm not going to let you go. I'm never going to let you go. When Jacob earlier in this chapter prayed for protection, it's one of the things. It's basically the answer to his prayer a little while ago to be delivered from his brother. But he was again doing it his own way, wrestling against God. All right, I'll figure a way out of this. But now he's saying, I need your help. I need you to bless me. And Jacob, all his life, always thought that the enemies were outside of him. Well, my dad wants to bless the older brother, and this one wants this one, and my uncle wants this one, who gives me one wife over the other wife, and this one, and it's Esau wants to get me. Everybody coming at me, but the real enemy was himself. It was all inside of him. And there was that part of his nature, which we all have some of. This guy may be the epitome of that, but we all have some of it, to where that had to be conquered. And the only way that was going to be conquered, God was showing, is finally, Jacob, look, I could take you out any time, man, but I'm waiting for you to surrender. And God is waiting for some of us to surrender today. So Jacob says to him, he says to Jacob, what is your name? He said, Jacob. Now, Jacob's name means heel catcher, one who trips somebody up, one who gets over on somebody else. Could you imagine now Jacob realizing at that moment, he understood, listen, you're going to see in a moment, Jacob knew this was not a guy at this point. This was not just some dude. You know, somebody could just touch your hip and go, whoop, and you're done. You know, no, this is not a regular guy. Could you imagine now Jacob answering the question, what is your name, by giving the name that he had been wrestling against God with his whole life, trying to maneuver, trying to outwit. He's trying to outwit people. He was trying to outwit God too. God, I want to figure out my plans for my life, do it my way to get what I want out of it. Yeah, I'm heel catcher. That's me. God says to him, Jesus says to him, you'll no longer be called heel catcher, but Israel. Israel means, it comes from two root words. It means fight and struggle and God. So it's the one who struggles against God, but it also can mean God rules. In this case, that's what God, I believe, is saying here. Jacob, you're going to be the one who now realizes you wrestled with God, but now God is going to rule over your life because you're going to let him at this point. No longer Jacob, but now Israel, for you have struggled with God and men and have prevailed. And how did Jacob prevail? He didn't win the wrestling match. He prevailed by surrendering. He prevailed by saying, okay. He prevailed saying, all right, I get it now, but I need you. I need you. Maybe the only time in his life he got to that point where he would say, okay, this one is superior to me. I can find no way out. But guess what? I know I want something from him that not only do I need, but something from him because he is so great. He is so wonderful that I want him to rule over my life. This son of Isaac, this Jacob. Jacob, you know. In fact, it's interesting. Jacob is now going to officially be Israel, but as you continue to read through the scriptures up until his death, the scriptures refer to him twice as often as Jacob as it does by his new name Israel, which is important for us to understand because even though he now, Jacob, surrenders to God and finally realizes he needs to go God's way, there's still a lot of Jacob left in him. See, some of us, and this is why this is an important point for us listening to this message today, some of you are saying, well, Pastor Joe, I get that, but I did that a long time ago and I gave my heart to the Lord and I was born again. And that's great. Assuming that it was truly with your heart and you truly are a child of God, that's wonderful. But you're still wrestling because there's still a lot of you still there. So even after this event where he says, I want to bless you, and now he gets changed from Jacob to Israel, and in God's sight, you're a new man, Jacob, right? Just like everybody who is Christ is a new creation. But there's still a lot of us still in there. So Jacob, you're Israel now. Okay. But he's still walking as Jacob a lot. Someone said that the great parallel of this lesson in this chapter is that the lives of many of God's people, talking about Christians, alternate between Israel and Jacob all their Christian life. Some days you're Israel, some days you're Jacob. Some days you're Israel, some days you're Jacob. So when we struggle with God, the only way to win is by us losing and submitting. And having submitted and lost to him, we then prevail. Jesus said, you'll save your life if you lose it for my name's sake. So Jacob says to him now, tell me your name, I pray. What's your name? And he says, why is it that you ask my name? And he blessed him there. And the reason I believe that response came from Jesus is because you know who I am. You know. You know. You don't need me to tell you who I am. The blessing in defeat. So Jacob calls this place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face. Obviously he knew, right? And my life is preserved. Then he crossed over Peniel. The sun rose. He limped on his hip. Very important, because when we truly, truly surrender to the Lord, there will be and needs to be a change in us. And that healthy change, that limp, so to speak, is what reminds us of the work that God has done in our life to bring us to that point. And it's a reminder how we need to surrender daily, 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 daily. So Jacob understood it was only by God's grace and mercy that he escaped this, you know, this period of his life. No man would, you know, would be allowed to wrestle with God and live, but God had a lesson. God was gracious to him. God was even more gracious to him because God turned the heart of his brother. So when they finally do meet, his brother forgives him, weeping, and forgives him. That would have never happened if Jacob did not surrender to God. That would never have happened. I like the limps in our life, and I hope that many of us think about those limps as we go forward this week and say, Father, let me remember how much I have to surrender every day and how much I am unable to do the things that I think I can do. And it's truly true. The scriptures say all scripture is true, but it's, you know, we can do nothing without him. You know, we could do a lot, but nothing real, of real value. We can do nothing without Jesus, but we can do all things through him that gives us strength. Now, you may be a little ahead of me in this message, and that was like part one. We're getting to part two. It won't be too long. But you may be a little ahead of me in the understanding that the idea of Jacob saying, in essence, I'm never going to let you go, right? That's what he did say, right? Just like that song, right? Never going to let you go. I'll hold you in my arms forever. I don't want to let you go. But bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless you. The essence of Jacob doing that and saying that is only possible. It's only possible. Because throughout all his life, in spite of his wrestling against God and his stubbornness and his willfulness and everything else, Jesus already promised never to let him go. See, Jesus already had selected Jacob for the purpose. It was through him and his family would the seed of the Messiah would come. Jesus said to Jacob, not in those many words, but his promise to him was, Jacob, I'm never going to let you go. And that's what he was demonstrating to Jacob when they were wrestling with him. He says, Jacob, you've been wrestling against me this whole time, and you never even knew it. But guess what? As much as you've been wrestling with me, I could have easily walked away from you, but I'm never going to let you go. Hebrews 13 tells Christians, it's also repeating what's said in Deuteronomy, but it says it now in the New Testament. It tells us in Hebrews 13 that let our conduct, your conduct, be without covetousness, like a Jacob, right? Content with such things as you have. And Jacob wasn't content in his life. I want the blessing. Even though he's going to get it anyway. I want it my way. I want it this way. You know, he says, be content with what you have. For he himself has said, this is God, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Did you ever hear that before? Well, I think you're going to hear it differently after today. The Holy Spirit is going to speak it to you differently today. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me, or what can man do to me. In other words, that was driving Jacob. My brother's going to kill me. My uncle, I can't go back because my uncle already said if I go back, he's going to kill me. Where am I going to do? I'm in a rock and a hard place. What am I going to do? And he surrenders to the only one that can make the real difference in his life. And guess what? Once he did, it didn't matter what man would do to him. It didn't matter. It didn't matter because we're always worried about what people are going to do to us and we got to do to people and how we're going to maneuver and get that. No. If you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, you have a promise that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Meaning, you know, somebody could be with you. You ever been with a buddy or, you know, and you're in a situation and they actually stay with you, but they don't help out. And you're like, you want to speak up anytime now? You want to help me out? No, Jesus isn't just with us and saying, oh, you know, he won't forsake us. He won't abandon us. I'm not a big fan of the Amplified Bible, but I like the way it says here regarding Hebrews 13. It says where God says, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you. I got you. See, Jacob could never have wrestled with God all night unless God already said to Jacob, I will never let you go. Think about your life. Think about all the times you have been wrestling with God. If God would not have, if he would have abandoned you, you would be hopeless and you would be gone. But he wants you. He's pursuing you. And even when he has you and you become his child, he's still now holding you in your life. He's holding you with that beautiful hand of his. And he says, child, I want so much more for you. Will you just keep surrendering to me? And this whole promise of God never letting us go is central to all of the scriptures. Because God, by all rights, should have let us all go a long time ago when we first rebelled against him. He should have let this whole thing go. Whoa, but he doesn't. He says, no, I love them and I want them all to come into a relationship with me. I want them all to repent of their sin. I want them all to be set free. See, that the scripture in Hebrews comes from Deuteronomy 31, the promise, you know, which is given to, you know, to Moses, to Israel, and then it'll be even re-amplified again or reiterated again to Joshua. You know, 31:6, be strong and of good courage, right? Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He said that to Joshua, then standing, looking at Jericho, looking at what he's going to have to do. He says, no man to Joshua, he says, shall be able to stand with you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. So those promises to them, according to the Holy Spirit, in the New Testament are given to the church because he says to us in the church, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he's given us jobs to do. He's given us a whole world to reach with the gospel of the good news of his salvation. And that's a big job, and it's a daunting job. And what did he say when he commissioned the church to go out in the Great Commission? He says, "Allo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm never going to let you go. Never going to let you go." And there's so many scriptures that promise us God's assurance that because of his promise never to let us go, that nothing can separate us from his love. Of course, Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm never going to let you go. Just surrender. Instead of it being a wrestling match, let me hold you in my arms. You know, did you ever try to, like, you know, if you have young children, you're around young children, I'm talking like a little toddler, even a little bigger, but you know, come here, I'm going to give you a hug, and they're like, come here. That's us with God. squirming, twisting, pushing. And he says, no, settle down. I'm not going to let go of you. Worst part is when you're trying to cross the street, they want to run away from you. I'm not going to let you go run into traffic. I'm not going to let you go. Just relax. Surrender. See, I don't want you and me, and I told you this many times before, my father raised me not to submit to anybody. But I had to submit to Jesus Christ. See, and if I knew, and my father knew, if I would submit to any human being in that way, in a negative sense, then they would have control over me, which would usually be a bad thing. But not Jesus. When we submit to him, and we stop struggling and wrestling and fighting with him, he says, yeah, you might not like where we're going, but you're with me. Fear not. You may not, this might be hard, this, and it will be. It's going to be tough, but I'm with you. Yes, we have to, for a moment, walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but don't fear, I'm with you. Oh, we have to scale the highest heights. Don't worry, I am with you. We have to do these things that I've called you to send you into the uttermost parts of the world, and that might be to some people that you live next door to you that you don't even know how you can talk to. You don't want to talk to them, but I'm with you. Don't be afraid. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Real quick as we get to wrap this up, I think because the Bible beautifully connects this whole idea in all of Scripture, I'm just giving you some of the verses today, of our active effort, right, to realize, like Jacob, at some point in our life, we have to cling to God. But then the reality of realizing at some point, and maybe some of you are just realizing it today, well, I'm holding on to Jesus. Well, you're only holding on to him because he's holding on to you. He's the one who's holding on to you. It's a divine partnership, if you want to call it that, but he's the one who not only initiates it, he's the one that makes it possible. Because we can never hold him if he doesn't want to be held. But he's holding on to us. His strength is what keeps us from completely falling. Look at this one. And honestly, until today, I had never seen this in this way, this psalm. Psalm 63. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Do you see the partnership? We're going to hold on and follow close. We're going to be with you, but you're going to hold us. You're going to hold us. I'll follow close. I'm going to be there. I don't want to leave your footsteps. I need to say, I'm going to hold on to your, you know, hold on to your robe, and I'm going to be there. But wait, I'm holding you with your righteous right hand. He holds us. Jesus said in John chapter 10, 28 and 29, and I give them, meaning his children, eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. He's never going to let you go. He's going to hold you forever and ever and ever and ever through all eternity. So where's this dual partnership come? Well, our part, we need to, like Jacob in the good sense, persist in wanting to be close to him and hold him. We have to have that mindset. Lord, I want to hold you. I don't want to push you away. I want to hold on to you. Knowing that as we hold on to him, it's his right hand that gives us that stability that we can hold on. See, and we do that practically by saying, well, okay, well, we can't, like Mary Magdalene grabbed him after the tomb and he says, Mary, don't cling to me. Not that he didn't want that, but he says it's going to be something different. You know, I'm going back to the Father so I can come to live with inside of you. And then when we realize that we come to that place of wanting to follow him, the way we follow him is saying, Lord, I will obey you. I'll do what you call me to do. And that's where the wrestling really is, if we're being honest. We want salvation, and we may have it by grace alone through faith, but there's a rest of us that says, no, I still want things my way. Right? Come on. It's true. It's true. My terms. But no, we have to choose to follow the path for our life and obey it. See, his grace initiates it and sustains it and completes it. Let's recognize where the source of our strength comes from to hold on to him. We take action as he leads, but it's the Holy Spirit who lives within us that helps us to be able to be kept, to walk in his power, to walk in his love, to walk in his mercy, to walk without fear, knowing that he promised us that he would never leave us nor forsake us, and there's no power in this universe or beyond that could snatch us from his hand. Jesus, we love you and thank you for so many things. For so many things. And as we hear these scriptures today, the story about Jacob and his manipulations and his struggles against you, and we think of our struggles. And they're only struggles because we're wrestling against the one who can never be defeated. And we're wrestling against the one who loves us better than we could ever love ourselves and has a better plan for us than we could ever, ever possibly initiate on our own. So, Lord, I pray today that this word would touch our hearts, that, Lord, we would look at this story and these scriptures differently than we have before, that we are thankful for the times that we have wanted to hold you tight, and that we have, Lord God, clung to you. But let us realize today that we're only able to do that is because you already are clinging to us. Now, Lord, there's some maybe here today, and Father, you know every heart, and there's some that are going to listen to this message as it's put online, that, Father, they are realizing right now that they have been wanting to cling to you, and they have come to know you and want to know you more, but they've never submitted themselves to you and surrendered their life to you. Yet, Lord God, you're holding them. You've been leading them by your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit has been speaking to their hearts. Your Holy Spirit has been drawing them to you. Your Holy Spirit has been convicting them of sin and convincing them that they need a Savior, and you're the only Savior. And Father, today they realize it, that they've only been able to hold on at all because you've been holding them. But now it's time to surrender for the very first time. So Lord, I pray they come just as they are. I pray that they come in their sin. I pray that they come in their rebellion and disobedience. They lay it down at your feet. And they repent. They turn from it. They turn from their way. They turn from their maneuvering, their wrestling, their conniving, their whatever else it is, their rebellion. And now they say to Jesus, I know that you've been holding me all along. I want to be held by you. I don't want to let you go, but that's only possible if you'll never let me go. So Lord, I come and ask that you would wash my sin away with your precious blood, that you would forgive me for my sin. I repent. I turn from it. I accept your forgiveness. I accept your work upon the cross. And by faith, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and wash me clean and make me your child. And now help me, Lord, to cling to you in a way that I desire every day to submit and surrender to you and to your way. But I also know the promise now that is mine for all eternity, that you will never leave me nor forsake me. And Father, I pray for those who are making that decision even now, that they would be vocal about it. They would tell the story about what you have done in the day of their surrender. And Lord, I pray for the rest of the church, the saints of God who heard this message today, that are honest enough within themselves to realize, yes, I did say yes to Jesus all those years ago, and I know he holds me and he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I know all of that, and I believe it, but I'm squirming. I'm still wrestling. I'm still trying to many times get out of his grasp. So, Lord, forgive me Forgive us for the many times. Even today we might be doing it. Right now we might be doing it, Lord. Lord, help us to be still and know that you're God. Help us to submit and surrender completely to you. Every part of our body or being that, Lord, needs to submit to you to be still again, Lord God, that you would just now cradle us in your arms. Instead of having to wrestle against us as we're trying to squirm away, just be cradling us in your arms. And then you would lead us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. So, Lord, thank you for the promise of not only never leaving us nor forsaking us, but the promise that, Lord, even when this now is done, no one can separate us from your love. So now we rest in you. In Jesus' name.